Hey, everyone. Welcome to the weekly Persuasion Negotiation Influence Call. This is Kurt Mortensen. We are, I don't even know the date today, sometime in February, February 13th, as we spend a few minutes talking about some of the skills and attributes of great persuaders and get you to the next level. I mean, we going to give you that couple of different tools today. We'll open it up for questions. You can, those doing Skype or via online, you can send those to me via the net, or you can ask me, those doing it live could ask me over the phone, and those doing replay, you'll have to send me an email, because that's the only way that'll work. So one of the focuses that we want to shift gears, we've been kind of going over some of the laws of persuasion, but that is what enhances your ability to persuade and influence, but we also need to talk about some of the blunders, because every time we make a subtle blunder, a subtle mistake, it creates what I call the brick wall of resistance, and that makes them more and more difficult to persuade and influence. Now, most of the time, persuaders are building the brick wall for the prospect, and that's always a challenge. We want to make sure we're not doing anything that's causing resistance, or doing anything that causes them to say, no, I'll think about it, too expensive, which we know most of the time is a lie or a knee-jerk reaction. So I kind of want to go through some of the complaints that I get as I talk to prospects. And that's one of the fun things that I get to do, is I get to interview prospects after they've lied to you. Because for some reason in society, it's easier for people to lie and say, call me back later, more information, when they know deep down they're not going to do it, and that's a waste of time. So what are some of the big complaints that we see out there that that prospects say about their persuaders? We can talk about, of course, how to fix that, and let's get into those blunders. Now, the first one is we talk about mistakes that persuaders make. Because when I was doing research for Persuasion IQ, it was basically the traits and skills of top persuaders. And a lot of great persuaders aren't very good teachers because it has become instinct for them. It's part of who they are. And one thing that's very hard for entrepreneurs and persuaders to accept, and here's one of the blunders, is that, well, the fact, I guess, would be is that you earn what you feel that you're worth. Your mindset equals your paycheck. You see it time and time again, especially in commission sales and entrepreneurs where they feel they're a $150,000 a year person. It's October. They've made it. They're excited to make more, but then they don't even know they're doing this. They sabotage themselves. They're still working. They still want more money, but it doesn't happen. We know that over 90% of people who win over $1 million in lottery or gambling will be bankrupt in 5 years because their mindset does not match their wealth. So the first thing we need to fix as far as on your pursuit of excellence and of wealth is to fix the mindset. Remember, you earn what you feel you're worth. We call it millionaire psychology. Because to become a millionaire, the formula is quite simply start thinking, acting, and doing what other millionaires do. So that's the first thing that holds a lot of people back. It's one of the last things that they'll work on. But if you read Think and Grow Rich or any book on wealth, the first thing they work on is a mindset. That's the very first thing people should work on, but they tend to do it last because they are in denial. Mindset. You earn what you feel you're worth. And so that is something that you need to take a look at. Millionaire psychology would be a great resource for you to go through to really understand what it takes to take your mindset to the next level. The other one we tend to see quite a bit is price. Now, the actual number is when people say it's too expensive, 67% of the time it's a lie. They know that's a way for them to get rid of you. But here's the issue. There's two issues here, really, when we talk about price. When they say it's too expensive, you've blown your presentation. You didn't build the value. So the mistake is this. People always fight on price instead of building the value. Only 6% of the things we buy, 6% of things we buy are bought on price. If price was always the issue, we'd always eat at McDonald's and go to the thrift store and buy the cheapest clothes, buy the cheapest used car, but that's not how it is. And the value's there, it's a no-brainer. So we need to focus on building the value. To when we get to the price, they're like, wow, that's it? That's perfect, that's great. Even if they can't afford it, they feel that it's a great value. And it's a great deal. And that's something that you can take a look at with price. Always build a price. Because anybody can fight on price. Any uneducated persuader, the easiest thing to do, oh, cut the price, cut the price, cut the price. But then you're not selling quality products. You are not, competing. You're not really persuading. The other aspect with price that you need to realize is when you look at, I look at different persuaders, for example, and they always tend to have the same lead, same script, same persuasion IQ, but find that they get different objections. The research shows that the objection you get the most is the objection you still have. Okay, the objection you get the most is the objection you still have. What does that mean? Well, if you keep getting it's too expensive, deep down inside, you don't believe it's worth it. And that's something that you'll have to figure out. But don't fight on price. Anybody can fight on price. You build the value. When you get the price, they say, wow, that's a great offer. That's a great deal. If you want to, we'll talk more about that next week when we get into the law of contrast, which teaches you how to structure your pricing for that to happen. So that's one. Now, another one, common blunder, is the mistake that you're an extrovert, you're a people person, so people like you. And you've heard me say it before, you know that annoying person that nobody likes, that rubs you the wrong way, that thinks they're funny but they're not, you know that kind of person? Well, that could be you, because you don't know, people don't say, you know, you rub me the wrong way, you know, I don't like you. Well, a few people will, but majority of people won't. So never assume that people like you, that you've connected with somebody. Well, I'm a people person. I'm a natural persuader. Well, it used to be true. A big shift in persuasion is introverts actually out-persuade extroverts now. It's a big shift. Introverts out-persuade extroverts because extroverts come across as salespeople, and we resist salespeople. We don't want to be sold, versus introverts are consultants. They listen. They ask three times more questions, and they tend to out-persuade. Never think you've arrived at your people skills. Because the goal here is that your goal is to persuade people how they want to be persuaded. That is your goal. And I know you could connect with people that are like you, that have the same type of personality as you, but if you want to dramatically increase your income, you need to learn to adapt to different personalities and get different and connect with those personalities, then you'll be able to persuade them. We've never arrived in our people skills, so keep that in mind as you walk through this. Another blunder that we have seen time and time again, and this one's a big one, is they trust you. Do they? Really? Just because you're a good, trustworthy person does not mean people trust you. That's how, 20 years ago was I trust you, give me a reason not to. Now it's I don't trust you, give me a reason to trust you. Trust has dropped dramatically. And it also depends on professions. Every about 5 years I go through different professions and we do surveys to rank where they are on the persuasion scale, on the trust scale. Top of the list tends to be firefighters, pharmacists, for example. Bottom of the list tends to be used car salesmen, telemarketers, Congress, any type of government. Those, it's interesting that entrepreneurs actually have more trust than big business. And so there's something there to think about as far as trust. You have to build trust. It doesn't matter. Well, it's good that you're a trustworthy person, but it doesn't matter to that person until you've earned that trust. And that is a big one, because a lot of times we think that they trust you. So I'm watching, too, a persuader and a prospect monitoring the persuasion cycle. And, of course, I have questions when they're done, and I'll ask the persuader, so did you build trust? 9 out of 10 times, they said yes. And I asked the prospect, did you trust them? And it was only 1 out of 10 times. That's important to understand as we think about building trust, learning the 5 C's of trust, and whether it's online copy or face-to-face. Big thing here is never assume they trust you. Even people you know really well, there's history there, things that have happened. Never assume that people trust you. Other one that we see a lot of persuasion training that is not right. Say something like enthusiasm's good. You have to be enthusiastic. Well, That depends, too. If it's Monday morning, they haven't had their coffee, and they're feeling pretty ornery, and you're coming in like a spastic dog, that will repel them more than it will connect you to them. So your goal as a persuader is to match their energy, match their enthusiasm, and slowly build it up to the point where their enthusiasm is increasing. Enthusiasm is great, but if you're too high on the enthusiasm scale compared to where they are, that will definitely pull you down. Another one that's being taught out there that's not true is objections are good. Not really. This is what I have found, that when someone has an objection during your presentation, whether it's face-to-face or over the phone or even on the internet, it's a mental roadblock and they're stuck. So on the internet, they're going to go to a different web page. If you're talking to them, they're going to zone out. You keep talking. You keep listing all the different benefits, but they are stuck. They are stuck. So great persuaders actually have the ability, and we've talked a little bit about this, to pre-solve objections before they happen. You learn what's called to inoculate them. If you're getting the same objections, learn to inoculate them, pre-solve them before they happen. Why would you want them to hit a brick wall if you don't have to? Learn to pre-solve objections. Very important that you do that. So you look through. Now, you don't want to do all the potential objections you're going to get, but get the one or two that you're always getting that are always there and pre-solve it for them. An example would be when we talk about inoculation. Let's say I was selling photocopiers, and I was the most expensive one on the market. And I knew right after me there would be another photocopier salesperson, and I knew that person was going to say, they are the most expensive. So I would inoculate or pre-solve the objection and say, you know what? A lot of people will say, and it's true, that we are the most expensive. We are top of the line. But when you factor in our free maintenance program and the Toner for Life program and this, and that our machine will last 5 years longer than our competition, it's actually going to save you $10,000. So when that objection comes up, or when that comes up in the next presentation, they have the ammunition to, or inoculated to fight that. But your goal, pre-solve objections before they happen. Another one that we tend to see quite a bit is talking too much. Big complaint, or what I call vomiting. You vomit on people. Here are the 32 reasons why. It's over-persuading. See, prospects say you're talking three times too much. What a great time management technique just to listen and ask questions and say the right things instead of throwing a bunch of things at a dartboard hoping that something will stick. You're talking too much. There are 37 reasons to do business with you, but they don't care. Now you've given them a reason not to. That's what happens when you may do a laundry list. And that's why we don't want that. You need to say, what's the most important thing about it? If I was doing a home-based business, I'd say, what's the most important thing about a home-based business to you? Really? How come? Why? Well, based on your criteria, this is the best one for you, and that's your product, that's your service. Because when you over-persuade, you data dump, it sucks the energy out of your presentation, number one. And number two, you've given them reasons for them not to do it. You know, if your son or daughter said, I'm going to go to the cabin on the weekends because of this and this with my friends. You're like, oh, that sounds like fun. And I want to go because of this and this. You're like, I don't know. And I want to go because of this and this. So they're data dumping, and they've given you, like, oh, no, you can't go because they've given you reasons not to do it. And that's what happens when you over-persuade. You talk too much. You vomit on people. Remember, when you listen and ask the right questions, they'll tell you everything you need to know to persuade them versus guessing and data dumping and hoping that it picks. Because sometimes what we like to do is, and we've heard this before, feature versus benefit, right? But no one does it. Everyone always vomits the features because they hope their prospect will assign a benefit to it. If I say it has 400 horsepower, some of you can assign a benefit to it. Some of you are not sure what that means. But your goal is to help them persuade themselves. When you're vomiting, you're not helping them persuade themselves. You're just giving them a list of reasons why they should do it. Another one is the demeanor change. Yeah, what's that? What happens, and this is a big complaint, is that you're going, you're Mr. and Mrs. People person, you're talking, and then you get into your call to action or your close or whatever you want to call it, and all of a sudden your demeanor changes. You're a different person because you're getting nervous, you're sensing a little fear. What if they say no? What's happening? So you're freaking them out because now there's a new person. You don't think they can sense it, but they can sense it. They don't call you on it. There's just something there. Your demeanor changes, whether it's on the phone or face-to-face. You're all nervous inside. This is the point you ask for money. This is when you ask for their business. Oh, they say no. So your goal is to remember that you're persuading the whole time and that you should be excited to get to your call to action because that's why you're there. That's why you just spend 30 minutes talking to them. That's how you get paid. That's where the money's at. And that's something very important, that your demeanor doesn't change. You're the same person all the way through. You are congruent with your message and asking for the money and doing what you came there to do. Do not change demeanor. It's easier than it says, but it's something important. Last one, and we'll open it up for questions. And this is another one that's being taught out there, is that you need closing skills. You need closing skills. You need closing skills. And closing skills have a time and place, but I always say that closing skills is like trying to get a kiss after a bad date. If they don't like you, they don't trust you, a clever phrase is not going to help you out. It is much more important to open them up, to build the trust, to build the connectivity, than it is to come up with a closing skill. Because if you have to use closing skills, you've blown your presentation, because when you get to your call to action, you want them to say, well, this is great, let's do it, how do I get started? Because the numbers are, if they like you and trust you, which happens in the initial minutes, you have a 90% chance of persuasion. If they don't like you, they don't trust you, you have a 10% chance. So spend more time on the connection, spend more time on the trust, more so than learning another closing skill. So the reason I bring these up is so we can be aware of the different aspects of persuasion and influence, things that we could be doing. So pick the one that you feel like, yep, that's the one I need to fix. Come up with a game plan on how to fix that, and it'll make a huge difference in your income and the things that you're going to be able to accomplish. That's important. Pick the one that will have the biggest return on investment for you, and don't do the blunders. Do not put those bricks in the brick wall of resistance so they say no. That's not what we are looking for. All right, so with that, now remember, of course, we'll post recordings within 24 hours at whywhypersuasion.com. That's also, if you're listening to replay or overseas, to send me, or listening via Skype, listening to send me questions, or you can ask me questions via the phone. I've got one here about... Says, Kurt, how do you know if they trust you or not? Well, first thing is, you're always assuming that they don't, that you have to build it. But the signs you're looking for in trust, or, and I'll put indifference in the same category because they're done, is if you're face-to-face or their shoulders squaring up with you or their feet pointing towards you, eye contact diminishes with lack of trust. You also have, you answer their questions, they're still not getting it, they come up with more questions that you've already answered, are signs of trust. If you're leaving lots of messages and they're not calling you back, could be a sign of trust. If they are calling to complain about you, that would be obviously a sign of trust. And those are some different things that matter when we talk about, you know, credibility. Just one of the five C's of trust is credibility. And if you're not credible, they're not going to have that trust with you. So you need to make sure that you have credibility. So I just got that one about as far as credibility is concerned. How do you build credibility? What are some things that you can do? and let's talk about that a little bit. Unless there's any other questions, go ahead and ask me either via the net or over the phone. Now, when we talk about credibility, one thing you need to realize with credibility is when you have low credibility or low trust, business is down, you're getting complaints, they always need references, not returning phone calls, canceling appointments, not giving you repeat business, no loyalty is all a sign of credibility. Now, the main thing here with credibility is that you can borrow credibility. We talked about social validation a few weeks ago through testimonials, through referrals, through endorsements. If you think your credibility is low, there are ways to get that credibility back. So definitely. Any other questions? All right, here's a question is, Kurt, how do I know if my demeanor is changing? The best way for you to know, thank you for asking, by the way, is internally. What happens on the inside manifests on the outside. You don't think so, but it does. You think you're hiding it because they're not calling you, but something happens. If I had just fought with somebody on the phone and I put on a fake smile, your prospect's still going to feel it. You think you're covering up, but they might not know that you're angry or just fought with someone. They just feel something's not quite right. Remember, we're talking about subconscious triggers. The best way to tell is when you get into that close, if you start to feel nervous or fear, if you start to, your emotions start to change, they're going to feel a change. We should be seamless all the way through. You're excited to be there, the demeanor, the whole bit. That is a big, big part of it. So that's something that you need to be aware of on the inside. If you think you're getting away with it, you're not. That's not how it works. Question. Any other questions? I want to hear about... Kurt, what happens if I keep getting price objections and I know that I'm manifesting it? I mentioned earlier that if you keep getting it too expensive, you might not believe it. You need to become a product of the product. You need to read more testimonials. You need to know that it's worth it, that it's a great return on investment for people. If you don't get that, you might need a new product. You might need to do something else that may or may not be an option, but you need to believe in what you're doing. You need to have that heartfelt conviction and that passion to be able to do that. Now, that's a big challenge a lot of times for customer service, that they only see the negative. They rarely see the positive, so it's important to see them the positive, the endorsements, and the testimonials. All right. Any other questions? So this week, kind of take a look at those blunders and pick the one that you feel is maybe holding you back a little bit. And we'll talk about that. We'll have this posted at whypersuasion.com. With that, everyone have an incredible week. And we'll see you next week at the same time. Good night, everyone.